Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, g'day everyone and welcome to All Talk with Jason, Mike. It's great to have your country wherever you are in the world. And I tell you what, Mike, it just gets weirder and weirder on this podcast in terms of where we're broadcasting from and the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And I'll leave it to you, you having been here for much longer than me, to explain where we are at present.
Sure. Well, we're once again on set of season 4 of Wellington Paranormal, aren't we, Jase? You're back.
Yeah, I'm back, mate.
It's been fair pissing it down for probably the last 24 hours.
Can I describe it as... is sideways rain.
Yeah, that's right.
Sideways rain.
That's right, which is pretty standard for this neck of the woods. And the woods that we're in are out in sort of Upper Hutt, out Silver Streamy sort of away. And it's got a real nice name, this area of the country. It's called White Man's Valley.
Is it seriously called that?
It's called White Man's Valley. Now, it's not pronounced White Man's Valley. It's pronounced Whiteman's Valley.
Whiteman's.
You know how, okay, you know how white people can get around and they can start mispronouncing things willy-nilly. Well, that applies to their own language as well. And that is Whiteman, but it's clearly White Man's Valley, which isn't a very inclusive sounding name for a community.
Well, certainly not in this day and age, it's fair to say. But can I just, I'll be really honest with you, because I found out that we were filming in Upper Hutt.
Yeah.
And I went, God help us all. And I'll be honest with you, my friend, I've never actually been to Upper Hutt. And we're driving through Upper, I got picked up from my hotel.
Motel
by Neve, the lovely Neve. And we went out, and as I was saying, it's sideways rain, it's grey, it's miserable. We were driving through Upper Hutt, or White Man's Land, as you call
White Man's Valley.
White Man's Valley, absolutely beautiful, mate. Despite the the incredibly ugly weather, it's actually very pretty out
it's
a revelation.
It's
to me.
The most stunning place in Wellington, in the Wellington region, hands down. Because you don't sort of have the wind out here that you get in Wellington. So what you've got is here, you've got trees that really show off an array of autumnal colours.
Oh, very much so.
And you don't get to see that in Wellington City, because anything that's sort of a little bit weak gets blown away either to Antarctica or further north, depending on which way the winds are blowing. But I love it. I love coming
out
here. It's stunningly beautiful, especially this time of year.
I can genuinely say, hand on heart, I was really taken aback.
Yeah.
Because I was in all honesty, expecting an absolute shithole.
Yeah, totally.
Just an absolute travesty of a place. You're driving through all this lovely sort of bushland and farmland and White Man's Valley, and it was just a real delight for me.
There's a lot of white people around.
I haven't seen the people, actually. That's kind of freaked me out. Because of the weather, obviously everyone's gone inside and put the fire on.
Sure.
You know, got under their duvets or whatever, just wrapped up for the day.
Time?
What is the time? It's quite
five
late.
To six.
Is that all? Seriously, you're joking. And I'll also add, because I flew in here this afternoon, mate, I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah.
That was the hairiest flight, and I've been on some hairy flights that I've ever experienced, and it's the first time in my life when once the plane landed, the entire plane load of passengers broke out in spontaneous applause.
They might have just all been listening to All Talk with Jason.
They could have been. Good point.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah, they could have just finished at the same time.
But it was interesting because I honestly thought I was going to die. I didn't care.
No.
But I thought there's a good chance I'm going to die here. There were people crying. There were people screaming. Seriously, I'm not joking.
Yeah.
There were people actually literally screaming because we were surging and bumping and we were going tossed from one side to the other. So it was quite miraculous. And I heard from someone in the know, actually, that Wellington-based pilots are amongst the most highly sought after in the world because of their ability.
Anything.
And it's not just I've heard because of the landing conditions often. It's also because apparently Wellington Runway is one of the shortest around. It's actually a very small runway.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's a lot of talk around town about them extending it out into the ocean.
Yeah.
So that they can get some of these bigger planes in. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
So they get some of these big planes in. It's a fucking waste of money because no one's – I mean, do you just fly into Auckland? If you want to come down here, you can come down here. But do we need to build into the ocean for this stuff? Yeah. But I'm keen to see it.
You know, I don't know how keen I'd be to be landing on a runway in the ocean with a, you know, 100-mile-an-hour gale going over the ocean. Yeah. I mean, at least in that sense, if you miss...
Yeah, you get to drown instead of burn to death.
You just slowly suffocate to death as the cabin fills up.
No, that's right. I've had one shocking landing. I haven't had as many as you'd think I would, having lived here for so long, but coming back from Australia and me and the missus there, and, the plane got within, it felt like about 3 or 4 centimetres of the tarmac before the pilot, and you could hear him going, "Fuck that!" And took off again, powered off. It's amazing. They just power out.
Yeah.
And then took us to Christchurch, the asshole.
Abort.
Yeah, yeah. So we sat on the tarmac in Christchurch for 3 hours before hit that fucking, you know, and I don't use this term lightly, pussy.
Yeah.
Before he grew some balls.
Yeah, come on, mate.
Risk it.
Well, the worst flight I've ever had, it has to be said, and it was flying from Taupo into Auckland. On a small plane in the middle of a thunderstorm. Things were smashing behind us. We were getting tossed all over the place. People were throwing up in their vomit bags. People were crying. People were praying. It was just a nightmare, mate.
I think if I was in that situation, I'd just think, fuck it, I'm going to vomit everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Just have a power chunder.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, yeah, I mean, if I'm going out, why should I be a tidy Kiwi at this point? Surely it's my time to shine.
I tell you because, you know, in our last podcast, we went on a sort of slightly esoteric angle in terms of the meaning of life. What I found kind of disturbing as I contemplated my death was my lack of concern.
Yeah, well, it sort of feels like it'll be a relief.
Well, it was kind of like that. I mean, in the past, I would have been freaking out. I would have been a cat on a hot tin roof.
Yeah. Well, when I was...
But I was just like, oh, well, shit, you know, as long as it's quick.
Well, when I was younger, I never had any fear of death.
Yeah.
Or anything. Then I got older and I thought, oh, no, I quite enjoy life. I'd like to keep a hold on this. But then when you think to yourself, it's like with COVID or, you know, war, or you just think, well, the worst that can happen is that every person, every member of the human race dies.
Yes.
So, well, if that's as bad as it gets, I mean, that's all right.
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention war. I'm a big fan of the History Channel.
Oh, yeah.
And, mate, and you know, the extraordinary thing about the History Channel is they show the real footage of people being massacred.
Oh, good.
You know, and just, it's bloody horrific.
Yeah.
Bloody horrific, mate. And let's, you know, put our hands on our hearts and hope we never go there.
Oh, well, like you and me.
Yeah.
Like if you come in.
I mean, other people can go and fight.
If you and I in a workplace environment, there's two of us, you and me. If you're going to take me down.
Yeah.
Are you assault rifle? Are you machete? What are you doing?
I think it would be hand to hand. I'd probably, in your case, I'd go for your knees. I'd cripple you at the knee. I'd slice the tendon behind the knee.
Sure.
So you just sort of fold down.
Yeah.
And then come around the back, sort of sumo-ai style. Sung.
Ah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're giving it some thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a big concern you've got a samurai sword at work. It feels like it'd be a crime of passion, doesn't it? I sort of thought it'd be more like a pencil or something that was lying around, or, you know, a stapler.
Or in this case,
a toaster. Because we haven't explained fully where we are.
It's bizarre.
We're at this joint which was built. So it's like a little, if you can imagine, sort of New Zealand equivalent of a Western town, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got a hotel. It's built on a farm, and it's a fake village sort of thing from the, I would say, 1900s or something. And it was built for a television show in perhaps the 70s, and it's been here ever since.
I think it was the 80s.
Oh,
actually,
was it the 80s?
It was called Peppermint Town or something like that.
Was it close to home as well? There was another
show that was filmed here as well.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't close to home. It was some doctor thing. But
anyway. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, it's had these shows in it. So it's just been sitting here, and these people have taken it over, and I guess they're going to slowly try and do it up. But we shot another episode here, Copy Cops. And if I'm honest, it doesn't look like they've done anything since then, and that was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Although, the, you know, where we are now is really nice.
Well, it's actually, yeah, lovely and warm inside this little unit that we're podcasting from. But it is a very bizarre setup. I mean,
there's a fucking donkey lives here.
Yeah, well, apparently so.
Ringo the donkey. Ringo, I met him yesterday.
Which was in your shoot last night, I believe.
Yeah.
But it's the sort of place, you know, because yeah, I think it is the sort of 1800s maybe kind of feeling. But as soon as I arrived here, I thought this is a location, because I knew about its history.
Yeah.
This is a horror show location.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like whacked out weird locals that...
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Take you down by the knees and then come around the back and just cut you from behind.
That's right. You know what Samurai I mean? Style.
And with I imagine... weird sexual activity going on too.
Well, immediately you think, every single room I've been into here, I just think to myself, what kind of weird kind of rudery has been happening around here?
Yeah.
You know?
You
wouldn't want to go over it with a blue light, would you?
No, I'm thinking orgy.
Without a doubt.
I'm thinking sort of bonfires.
We had a bonfire here last night.
Yeah, satanic worship.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
Sacrifices.
Well,
goats.
I mean, just think about what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
There is goats. There is.
Hey, well, look, let's get into the podcast proper.
Sure.
And as always, we love all the correspondence that we've received from all of you. And let's get into a bit of acting chat with Jason Mike.
Kia ora.
Cut! Let's go again, please. One more time.
Jason Mike bring you acting chat. G'day, guys. Gustavus Rex here.
Oh.
What a great name. Listening to the podcast in Vienna, loving it so far.
Oh.
Oh, we're all over the place, mate. It's beautiful. I thought I'd ask you for a bit of acting advice. I've recently managed to pull myself up by my bootstraps, give up a stable job as an electrician, and decided to pursue a career in acting, partially inspired by the work of yourselves. I've managed to land a leading role in a play here in Austria. We're currently in rehearsals. The problem I'm having is as soon as I walk onto the stage, I get large, unbidden erections. It's been a bit embarrassing, and I know a few of the crew have noticed. I need to sort this problem out before opening night. Have you guys experienced anything like this? And if so, how did you deal with it? Should I give it all up and head back to work as a Sparky? Thanks, guys. Gustavus Rex.
Well, you know, I think most members of the male population have experienced the unbidden erection.
Well, every morning.
Yeah, that's right, actually. Yeah, no, true there. But even worse is in public situation. And the earliest ones were sort of at school, weren't they? And, you know, the terror was that you'd get one. And then be called up to the front of the class to sort of answer some kind of question for your classmates and then be mocked forever. I remember there was a guy at high school and, you know, we used to go drinking every weekend around at somebody's house and we'd generally get a keg in. And
you didn't muck around. No. Bring the whole keg.
Yeah. And there was one guy there and he drank too much and passed out on the lawn in the rain. And of course everyone just left him there. And you know, he ended up growing a massive stiffy. He lay on his back, and of course everyone at the party saw.
Yes.
And when he finally came to, you know, he made his way home when everyone else had already left, and when he got to school on Monday, his nickname was Boner.
And rightly so.
Yeah. So
and he's thinking to himself, why Boner?
Why are they calling me
Boner? What the hell, what's Boner about?
Yeah, that's right.
The worst scenario, and this is an absolutely true story, swimming sports.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a bit of a legend. Let's call him Aaron at our school. Yeah. Good-looking fella.
Sure.
But he was a real smart ass.
Oh, yeah.
He was a real shit stirrer. But people loved him, despite that fact. And so we had our school swimming sports. Can I also make the point, too, that Aaron, very well endowed. Very well endowed.
I'm picturing it. Now, was he circumcised or like you?
Look, I can't.
Uncircumcised.
Well, we still haven't clarified that, have we? I can't recall, but what I can recall is that there was swimming sports. There was a bank where all the spectators viewed the swimming sports.
Yeah.
By spectators, I'm saying students, staff, parents.
Yeah.
Like, the bank, and it was a big bank, was full of people. And anyway, he went into the one of the races. He finished. He was wearing Speedos.
Yeah.
He finished the race. Everyone got out of the pool apart from him.
Aye.
And the deputy headmaster was standing at the end of the pool remonstrating with him, going, come on, Aaron, get out, Aaron. Come yeah. on. Stop being an idiot. You've got to get out.
Was this an all-boys school?
It was an all-boys school.
Oh, God.
But you got to remember there were all parents there too.
Sure.
He's wearing Speedos, and he just wouldn't get out.
No.
And the deputy headmaster got furious. And in the end, he got out, raging erection. Absolutely raging erection.
Can you still see it?
I can still see it.
What colour were his Speedos?
They were red. Mm. But they were the interesting thing about them, they were quite thin.
Ah. Yeah,
which didn't help.
No,
so
no.
It was wet.
Well, they've been stretched to within an inch of their lives,
yeah, well,
it sounds like, or a millimetre.
Well, that's right. So rather than a sort of deep red hue, they were pinkish.
Yeah.
And he was doing his best to cover himself for about 5 seconds, and then you could see him make a conscious decision, and he just went, oh, fuck it, and
right.
just walked proudly over to his towel.
Ah.
And everyone was just hooting and hollering, and he became an instant legend.
Is
in
that
school.
Right?
True story, that.
That's great.
But what I liked about what he did was, initially it was the shame, the embarrassment, but in the end, in front of a very large crowd of mostly strangers, he went, fuck it, I'm owning this.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking about what Gustavus
Rex
is saying, you know, and about the shame of going on stage and having an erection. I'm wondering if he just owns it, if he
yeah.
makes it part of his character.
Sure. Well, it depends what the character is, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, that's true.
If it's To Kill a Mockingbird, for example.
Yeah.
And you are in the Gregory Peck role there. What was his name? Not Phineas.
Wasn't it Phineas?
Was it Phineas?
I think it was Phineas.
Hmm. So that's a, you know, if he's up there and he's, and that was a young girl that was murdered, wasn't it? The young African-American. And so it's a play. And if he's given his final speech to the judge, and all of a sudden a massive unbidden erection.
Yeah.
I think we've got a visitor.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Because just so you know, what's happening here is, once again, we risk being interrupted at any moment to be called to set. They're doing what they call building, aren't they, Jace?
Yes, they are.
Which is when you get called up to set, you do blocking, which is where everyone works out where they've got to stand and move and all that sort of thing during the scene. And then all the actors leave to get their costumes on or changed or just to get out of the way while they build the lights and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
Now, what was interesting about that one was we were in a place where it was completely dark.
Yes.
So nobody could see what anyone was doing. I was none the wiser by the end of it.
No.
What I'm really pleased about is that scene's going to take fucking ages, but I've got a seat.
Yeah, I actually, funny you should say that, because I saw you sit down in that little seat and I went, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. He's got a lovely, comfortable seat.
Yeah, 2.5 hours I'll be in that, I reckon. And you're not far away from me in the scene, but you're standing.
Yeah, I'm standing.
For all of that time.
The good news is I've got very comfortable boots.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. But getting back, you know, I actually, you know, it recalls a story that I had when I was doing a show called, wasn't Showboat, it was another one, another musical. But anyway, it was The Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, sure.
And I was Major General Stanley, but they put me in tights.
Oh, good.
With like knee-high boots.
Mm.
And another true story, and we were doing the dress rehearsal, which all went fine, and got great laughs, mate.
Yeah, great.
I was getting some great laughs.
How old were you?
16.
Yeah, sure.
And anyway, true story, the priest, who was the director, came up to me opening night. But it was actually opening day. We hadn't got to the stage. It was just in the dining room. And he said, Jason, can you, when you've got a moment, can you come and speak with me? And I was like, oh, what's going on there?
And the door open.
And he said to me, I got to his, he left the door open. I went into his office and he said, he was discussing the show and what a great job I was doing. And he said, how did he describe it? The mouse in the hole.
Huh.
And he said, have you heard of the mouse in the hole? And I said, no. Long and short of the story is, because I was wearing these tights, I didn't have an erection, but I was pointing. And it was very obvious that I was pointing.
Right.
And some of the ladies that were at the dress rehearsal found it very disconcerting.
Oh.
And I'm not trying to make out that I've got a massive penis, Mike, but they were genuinely, you know.
They thought you had a rager.
Well, I don't know, but they
anything
genuinely
that
found
it must have been wrecked.
And then, and it sounds very dodgy, the priest telling me this, the priest said to me, Jase, you've got to do the old tuck. You know, you got to tuck it under.
Right.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So you got to
point it back around towards the anus.
Yeah, exactly. But it wasn't, I don't think mouse in the hole was quite right because that's sounding faintly wrong. But
snake up the date.
Snake up the date, maybe. But yes, and so I was mortified, of course.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, mate, you're joking. And he's like, no, I'm afraid I'm not. So, you know, that night, opening night, I made sure I did the tuck.
Yeah,
the
right.
Tuck down. Which I found disconcerting. It put me off a bit when I first went on stage.
Sure, but once you heard, you know, the roar from the crowd,
the light. Applause, once I felt the lights, Mike, I was away, mate.
Yeah. Well, you're a pro, man. You're 16. You know what you're about. Yeah, I've never had a, I've never had an erect penis. No, I've never had a problem with that during any kind of a performance.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a filthy fucking sicko. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's what Gustav. Anybody called Gustavus Rex. You know, he acts like it's the first time he's had these. I get the feeling that you're wandering through the cereal aisle with an unbidden erection. I get the feeling that you're, you know, putting money in the parking meter and, unbidden erection. I get the feeling that, you know, you're putting gas in the car.
Unbidden erection.
Unbidden erection.
Can I go even a little bit further?
Yeah, go on.
I'm imagining he's listening to this this podcast.
Jerking off.
Yeah. Certainly he has an unbidden erection. I almost get the vibe. I know where you're going here. I almost get the vibe that he only said this so he could listen to us talking about his unbidden erections.
That's right, yeah. Nothing gives him more unbidden erections than a couple of gentlemen in New Zealand talking about unbidden erections.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I guess that's what you're into. But at the same time, we should assume that he's being serious. And
Can I suggest to him this? You know, I don't...
We've got seven minutes.
We've just been. Thanks, mate.
That's to Wairangi again. He got famous off last week's podcast.
Did he?
He said he's got multiple messages.
Brilliant.
Come through.
What I can assure Gustavus of is that.
Gustavus de Rex.
Opening night, massive shrinkage.
Oh, look.
In fact, I think I'll go so far as to say he'll wet himself.
Yeah, you'll probably shit yourself.
Yes.
I mean, you can go from being a Sparky to being an actor. Mm. Harrison Ford, of course, famously was a carpenter.
Yes.
But I think that's probably it. What were you? You used to work at Whitcalls.
Oh, yes, I worked at Whitcalls. That was only at school, though.
Yeah.
Worked for Greenpeace.
Greenpeace, that's right. Yeah.
Went to training college, went to university.
Yeah.
Just to fart around.
Yeah.
And
odd jobs. I've done odd jobs. I've done footings, dug footings.
I was a podiatrist.
Houses, gone fencing. I've been fencing.
I was a podiatrist's assistant.
Oh, yeah.
For a while.
What did that, did you have to into the shoes?
No, I used to have to make the plastic molds that they slipped into their shoes to correct their shoes. Made an absolute fucking mess of it, I can tell you. But
there's people limping all over the West Auckland because of you.
No, well, actually, probably in Remuera because that's where it was based. But, so it doesn't mean the fact that he's a Sparky doesn't preclude him from being a good actor.
No.
But I would be more concerned. I'm pretty confident that his unbidden erections will disappear on opening night, that his concern should be, as you pointed out quite graphically and unnecessarily, Mike, that he's going to piss a shit himself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I'd be more worried about the audience seeing that. You know, if you manage to get through the performance with an erection... you know, you could make a real name for yourself in Austria.
Oh, you
Vienna.
Could.
Well, I don't know any famous Austrian actors. Do you?
No.
Well, Werner Herzog. Not Werner Herzog. Who was the other guy there that he used to direct all the time? Klinsky.
Something like that. But listen, when I got stabbed,
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I got a, and I was in hospital for a month.
Yeah,
I was 14. You know, I got a sponge bath.
Oh yeah,
by one of the nurses. Yeah, talk about unbidden erection.
He was fucking hot though.
But he was a good looking guy.
This is
what they did.
And finger blasted you.
Yep, a finger flick on my head, not on my head, on my penis head. Just bang like that. Drop like a heavyweight boxer. Without a word of a lie, just bang, a flick, bang, like that on my head.
Really?
Boom, just went down like someone that had taken on Tyson in the ring.
Yeah, right.
It was brutal. So, I mean, if he could, you know, if he's in the wings, he can get it out.
Give it a good flick.
Give it a good flick on the head and it'll just fall like a
Well, you could probably tree. you could probably ask, you know, one of the other actors to do that for you.
Yeah. I'm getting the vibe from Gustavus that he's the sort of guy that would ask one of the other actors to do it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Hey, listen, can you help me with my unbidden erection?
Yeah, look, I've got a problem. Just actor to actor, I was wondering if you can help me out. Absolutely.
Not a problem.
Yeah. Can you flick me cock? Oh. Absolutely.
Hey, and Gustavus, if you're getting off on this, you're a sicko, mate, as Mike puts likes
to
phrase it. You're
an
absolute sicko.
I'll tell you what I'd like, though, mate, is if you can send us the notices for your play.
Yes.
Let us know how the reviews went. I'd love to know. I haven't seen any. Generally, you'd have a section in the paper called Odd Stuff, you know, and it'd be tales of wild things that have happened from around the world. And I haven't seen anything that says New Zealand-born former electrician Gustavus Rex was performing in his on the opening night of his debut play when the people in the stalls fled the theatre at the sight of his large unbidden erection.
I'm glad that you put large unbidden. I love the word unbidden.
It's
isn't
good,
it?
Isn't it? Isn't I haven't heard it for a long time.
Unbidden erection. But that's a great idea. I imagine if he has got any kind of reviews, I'm thinking it'll be in like a, you know, a provincial kind of local paper.
Yeah. You could just get the feeling that he's really small fry.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I can't point the finger when it comes to theatre. As you know, I've done one, and that was in Wellington. It didn't kick on to any requests from anybody else in that theatre company for me to ever come back and ever do another play. So
let that be a salutary lesson to you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, maybe I could have done with an, you know,
unbidden erection, just to lift your profile. Yeah. Hey, but anyway, mate, thanks for sending in your question. We greatly appreciate it.
That's right.
The interesting thing is, Mike, I think we're nearly at a half an hour point of our podcast. We've only answered the one question, so we're going to have to hoe into a few more in further podcasts because we have been inundated with questions.
We've got questions. We need more, though. And we're going to be honest with you. What we do is because Jason and I, we record this, mate, don't we? Every week we catch up to do this.
Yes.
But you're going to be back in Auckland and I'm going to be down here. So what we're going to try and do is knock out a bunch of them that we then release.
Yes.
We don't want to pull the wool over your eyes. But that's what we're going to do rather than not release any at all.
Yeah.
And then get lots of really, really quite inflammatory, insulting and abusive messages come through on the Instagram. Everyone's your friend when you're releasing the podcast.
Yes.
But as soon as they dry up, for quite legitimate reasons, fucking useless. I mean, there's quite horrific language used.
Yes.
You know. No apologies forthcoming, of course.
No. Hey, but you're absolutely right, and we do appreciate you taking the time to listen to this podcast. We do appreciate you taking the time to rate us and give us
five stars.
Yeah. We do appreciate the fact that you send in your questions, and we will always, always endeavour to answer them. Right now, though, it's time for Mike and I to go into some weird barn in the freezing cold dark of Upper Hutt, White Man's Valley. The stench of cow shit everywhere. Mike gets to sit. I'll have to stand for the next 2.5 hours. But until the next time, we'll see you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.